Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan NewsHour. Welcome to the Morgan NewsHour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director here at WEAA.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan NewsHour. Thanks for joining us.
Governor Larry Hogan gave an update on the state's COVID response and the plan for booster shots.
Baltimore County Police arrest and charge a man in connection to the shooting on Towson University's campus. We get a student's reaction on that incident.
As the number of cases for the Delta variant of COVID continues to rise, the United States is back to where it started at the beginning of the pandemic.
A suspect from this weekend shooting at Towson University is arrested. Student reporter Gabriel Ortiz goes to Towson University and speaks with one student and gets her reaction.
Police have arrested a 19-year-old suspect in connection with the triple shooting that took place on Towson University's campus this past weekend. As the situation continues to develop, I got a chance to catch up with Towson University senior Olivia Morgan to get a sense of how students are reacting campus-wide to this tragic event.
So thank you so much for giving me some time. Let's first start with, what was your initial reaction when you realized that there was a shooting on the campus that you go to every day?
I was so taken aback, but it was also so normalized for me to read for some reason that just happened. I was like, there's a shooting on my campus. Like, that's weird. And I think I talked about this with one of my professors. Like, people are so accustomed to seeing people dying on the news and on social media. So like, that was just like weirdly normalized for me to just read. But it was still really weird. I was like, there was a shooting on my campus last night. That's not totally normal in our area. It was really weird.
So how much time a week do you usually spend on campus?
2 days out of the week.
And you feel generally safe when you're up there?
Yeah, I did.
So that was going to be my next question. Does this change that at all? Do you feel even just a sense of unease or a little bit of dread when you walk around campus now?
Honestly, I haven't been on campus since it's happened because of Labor Day. Today's going to be my first day back on campus. But yes and no, it does feel a little bit more unsettling. But also, people say where there is one shooting, like, it's less likely that it's going to happen in that location again, or at least in a short amount of time afterwards. There's a point where it gets not that scary, but it's still like, oh, that still happened. So it's kind of unsettling.
Are you surprised that this would happen at a place like Towson?
Yes. Especially because it was in the middle of the campus, which I find the most unsettling. It was like an unsanctioned party, like the university had nothing to do with.
Is there anything that you want to see change around your campus now? Do you want to see a bigger police presence up there? Do you want to see more of maybe a security force that's there?
Yeah, I think definitely higher forms of security. Because, like, what if you were just, like, a freshman walking home from the library that night and that just happened? Like, I mean, also, some of that stuff is sadly inevitable. There's only so much that a cop could do to de-escalate that. I don't really know how preventable that could have been in that certain situation. But I feel like if there was a higher level of security, it would definitely calm some people's nerves right now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you giving me the time. I'll let you get back to campus, and please stay safe.
A really interesting insight into how normalized this type of extreme violence has become for young people in our modern society. Reporting for WEAA, I'm Gabriel Ortiz.
Towson University announced the suspension of a veteran officer pending an investigation into whether they followed established procedures in the incident. Police say more than 500 people were present during an unsanctioned gathering in a part of campus.
The summer that was supposed to mark America's independence from COVID-19 is instead drawing to a close, with deaths per day back up to where they were last March. The Delta variant is filling hospitals and driving coronavirus deaths in some places to the highest levels of the entire pandemic. What is alarming is the number of children who have been sick from the Delta variant. Weekly pediatric coronavirus cases surpassed 250,000 for the first time since the start of the pandemic. That's according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. School systems that reopened their classrooms are abruptly switching back to remote learning because of the outbreaks. The U.S. death toll stands at more than 650,000, with one major forecast model projecting it to be about 750,000 by December 1st.
The Maryland Department of Health updated COVID-19 numbers this morning. 701 new cases have been reported in the last 24 hours. Zero patients were admitted into the hospital, well, at least zero new patients. 21 people have died because of coronavirus, and the state's positivity rate is down 4.68%.
This afternoon, Governor Larry Hogan held a press conference and gave an update on the state's COVID numbers and the state's plan to roll out booster shots.
So today, the Maryland Department of Health will issue an order which makes all Marylanders 65 and older who are living in congregate care settings immediately eligible for booster shots. This health order applies to all nursing homes, assisted living facilities, residential drug treatment centers, and developmentally disabled group homes. To be clear, these facilities in Maryland will not have to wait to begin offering boosters. Boosters can now be immediately administered. In addition, the Maryland Department of Health is issuing new guidance today, instructing all pharmacies and other providers across the state to administer boosters without any need for a prescription or a doctor's order to anyone who considers themselves to be immunocompromised. Some providers may ask you to fill out a simple form.
Morgan State University's on-campus newspaper, The Spokesman, reports that the weekend ending on September 4th, that two new positive cases were reported on the campus out of the 561 tests that were administered. Kevin Banks, Vice President of Student Affairs, said, in quote, "We all have to do our part, and people who have symptoms are encouraged to stay home," unquote. The testing program for Morgan students and staff is available in the University Student Center from 9 a.m. to 3:10 p.m. on Monday and Thursday. Appointments can be scheduled through the University Health Portal. To read the full article, go to the msuspokesman.com.
Now let's take a look at your regional wrap.
Here's a look at the news happening around our region. A Pigtown street sign honoring a convicted drug dealer is coming down. The City Transportation Department said the sign paying tribute to Anthony Covington, who was shot and killed in the Pigtown neighborhood last year, will be removed. The decision to remove the sign comes 1 month after the city approved and posted the sign, which names a portion of Washington and Austin streets after Covington. Residents complained that the sign was glorifying Covington's drug actions. Covington was convicted in 2017 of distributing narcotics and was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And fire marshals in Maryland say two people were injured in an explosion at a home. News outlets report that Montgomery County Fire and Rescue crews were called to a home in Laytonville for a report of an explosion just before 8 a.m. on Tuesday and found the home collapsed. Officials say one person trapped under debris was freed and flown to the hospital with severe injuries. A second person was also taken to a hospital. Department spokesman Pete Peringer says the explosion was caused by propane. A South Baltimore man is recovering after he claims he was bitten by a rat. Stephen Horvath says he was bitten by the rodent as he was clearing an illegal dump site in the alley behind his home. Horvath says he decided to take matters into his own hands after numerous calls to the city complaining about the illegal dumping were not addressed. The residents went to the hospital to get a tetanus shot after being bitten. The city claims to have baited Horvath's neighborhood last month to control the rodent problem. I'm Rochelle Keaton reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Isolated severe thunderstorms with damaging winds are possible this evening. An isolated tornado is possible as well. Locally heavy rain may also lead to isolated instances of flooding during this period, mainly near central and northeast Maryland, low around 67. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Friday, sunny with a high near 78. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 63. Sunday, sunny with a high near 86. You're listening to the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM. Make sure you download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA. We are joined by our student roundtable participants.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jasmine Johnson.
Hello, I'm Rochelle Keaton.
So we were talking about in the newsroom some topics to discuss, and one of the topics that came up was ID theft, like on campus, just, you know, being aware of scams and things like that that can come across, especially with students who are young who might not know, they might click on. There's also a email that's out about phishing scams as well. So tell me about what you guys think about that.
I think that it's important for everybody to know to be aware, because whether you're on campus or you're on social media, there are people out there that are always going to target you to make money or just to steal your identity. So, you know, for their own purposes. So it's definitely important to be aware, because, you know, there's a lot of different scams going on where people want to, you know, take your bank information and use it to make thousands of dollars. So be careful. No matter what kind of incentive they bring to you, just be mindful.
Yes, I definitely agree. Just be aware of the red flags. Like, if somebody comes up to you that's a stranger and asks you for your bank account or anything of that nature, just don't give it to them. Don't give out your personal information.
Have you heard about it around campus? People being scammed and... I don't need names.
Recently, no, but when I was a sophomore, it actually happened to one of my friends, you know, and she actually got in a lot of trouble with her parents and the police. So there are definitely a lot of consequences that come with this, you know, type of behavior.
So we also were discussing Blue's Clues. We're going to play the clip really quick.
I mean... We started out with clues, and now it's what? Student loans, and jobs, and families, and some of it has been kind of hard, you know? I guess I just wanted to say that after all these years, I never forgot you, ever. And I'm super glad we're still friends. Thanks for listening.
So that was Steve from Blue's Clues. Which drew a lot of talk in our newsroom today, because
it's actually the 25th year of Blue's Clues since it came out. Steve was the original host. He was there for the four seasons until he left in 2002. Goodness gracious, I feel like I'm so old. In 2002, he went to college, and he introduced, you know, fans to his brother, Joe. So he left Blue with Joe and he went to college. And that was like the end of an era for so many kids.
I've watched so many Blue's Clues episodes. Magenta and all.
Yes,
all
Magenta. Oh, Blue's best friend. And like he says, Salt and Pepper. And it's just so many memories. And that video that came out last night. First of all, they put out a video last week where, you know, it was like the generation. So Steve came and said hi. Then Joe came and said hi. And I forgot the other guy's name. I'm going to call him Danny. I think that's his name. He looks like a Danny. Right. Then Danny came and said
hi.
Give him a pass. And so it was so sweet. And then having this video come out, I feel like it helped, you know, a lot of our inner child heal because that's our friend. Like, we missed
that was
Steve.
Your first friend.
Yeah,
right?
It was our first friend.
Yeah, I remember, you know, sitting there and looking for, you know, the paw prints and all that stuff. I was definitely excited and very eager to watch. It was nostalgia. What's the word? Nostalgic. That's how I felt, you know. Watching it, because, you know, I remember seeing, you know, both faces. Although I was young, I didn't really understand the change, but, you know, I still did get that feeling in my heart, just, you know, seeing him grown and knowing that he's doing well for himself. And the message that he gave to everyone was very important. So it was cool.
Yeah, it was just so good to see him, because I'm not going to lie, when he first left, I never watched Blue's Clues after that. It was not the same. He was the OG of Blue's Clues. So it was just so nice to see that he put out a video just giving life updates. It's good to see where people are, you know, doing in their life after a significant role they played or just anything that made him famous. So it was just really nice to see him.
Yeah, and he was... And he looked the same, you know, when, if you can see the video on YouTube, and I think it was on the Today Show today, but you can download it and look at it. But he looked the same.
Yeah, no physical difference. It, like you said,
he sounded the same.
He sounded the same. It's very reminiscent and very nostalgic. And it did. It pulled on your heartstrings. I teared up a little bit watching that video last night because, you know, I was like my friend Steve.
Right.
So it was really wonderful. We didn't get to see Blue, but we saw Steve. And I think that was the best part.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the message was just very symbolic. Like I said, I think it was very important that, you know, he's letting people know about the realness of life. Like, it was getting to him.
Didn't he say something about student loans? And
He was like, it's hard. It's hard. Right. So I appreciate that. So thank you, Steve.
Yes, thank you, Steve, for shedding light on what we all have gone through or are still going through right now.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
So after 130 years, the statue of Robert E. Lee comes down in Virginia. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris. That's the sound of crowds cheering after 130 years. A statue that has stood as a reminder of Virginia's treacherous connection to slavery and a symbol of racism is now down. After much debate and controversy, the General Robert E. Lee Monument, the largest and last of six Confederate statues erected in Richmond, Virginia, was removed from its 40-foot pedestal. Inside the pedestal, a time capsule that will be replaced with a new one, and one that will include 39 cultural moments in Virginia's history, like a vaccination card, a Black Lives Matter sticker, and poem. The statue will be cut into pieces and put into a facility for later decision on what to do with it. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam said that it's been a long time coming and it's important for Virginia's healing. For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
Heartscape with Kari K is shining the spotlight on local heroes and entrepreneurs who are striving to make a positive impact on the communities and beyond. Today, Kari K introduces us to a former professional boxer who founded an athletic facility in Baltimore City that nurtures both academic and athletic excellence.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I am your host, Kari K, and today I am speaking with Marvin McDowell, founder and executive director of Umar Boxing Program, located on West North Avenue in Baltimore's Druid Heights community. Hi, Marvin. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, how you doing? Glad to be here.
I'm doing well. So you have an extensive boxing background. You are a former professional boxer and a member of the Maryland Boxing Hall of Fame, among many other achievements. Talk to us about why you created Umar Boxing.
Well, I just couldn't understand, you know, we were always the entertainment, but we never had our own boxing gyms. We might have been trainers, but we never had any control of a situation in boxing. So I just wanted to be different. And I always, even when I was boxing, I used to always talk about me opening up my own gym and start my own boxing program. It is 25 years later, you know, certain ethnic groups control boxing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there really wasn't many Black gym owners and Black managers and Black promoters. So, you know, I just want to get in this and change the scheme of things in boxing.
So what exactly is your mission of Umar?
My mission is to give life to these kids in this community and give them hope. I'm a hope dealer. I deal in hope. But the way I do it, I put action in it, you know, because the program that I run, you know, we have a lot of different things going on. It's not just about boxing. Mm-hmm. We use the boxing draw, you know, the people in. And once we get them in, you know, education is mandatory. So, you know, like we're one of the first boxing gyms with legitimate educational component. You know, a lot of people don't associate boxing and thinking, but to be a good boxer, you have to be a good thinker. You know, like having a strategy, mm-hmm. making the first move, like playing chess, you know, and I'm just trying to erase the stereotype that they have on boxing that anybody can do it. No, it takes a thinking person. to be a good boxer.
So give me an example of a day at Umar Boxing. If I was a child that wanted to participate in this program, what could I expect? Okay.
All right. First of all, when you come, if you're 6 to 13, mm-hmm. right, you will meet with the teacher. If you have any work or if you need any help educational-wise, that's who you will meet first before you even will come to the boxing area. Okay. So we have a classroom, you know, with computers, certified educator, you know, that will work with you. First of all, you want to get an assessment in math, reading, and writing to see actually where you need help. So when you do come, you'll do your homework. If you don't have any homework, we'll give you a little assignment and make sure that you're up on everything.
Okay.
And then, after you release from the classroom, that's when you come to the boxing area. All right, we have certified USA boxing trainer.
Oh, nice.
And I'm saying, you know, you can really learn the techniques. You know, boxing, you know, once you talk about boxing, you always think about the physical aspect of it. But boxing mm-hmm. is more than just the physical, you know. Camaraderie, dedication, discipline, all these characteristics you need just to be a positive person in society, you can get from boxing.
That's amazing. That's incredible. So what type of feedback have you been receiving from the youth involved or even families of the youth involved?
Man, you know, like some of the kids that started from once I, you know, first opened up, mm-hmm. from the discipline and the dedication, you know, they tell me if it wasn't for them coming through this organization, that they wouldn't have finished college or they wouldn't know how to work, you know, on a job. You know what I'm saying? It just inspired them, you know, and taught them. It gave them self-esteem, you know.
And how does that make you feel hearing that?
Well, it makes me feel great because I'm a product of it. Mm-hmm. See, I'm giving back what helped me to be the person that I am, right. you know? And I know if it worked for me, it'll work for everybody that's around.
Well, it definitely takes a village to raise children. The additional love and support your facility is offering, the sense of community, all of this definitely is making a difference in their lives. Thank you for bringing Umar Boxing to life. Like you said, this is a necessity. Children need this. In their life.
We're on the same mission. We're on a mission of saving lives, you know, because if it wasn't for, you know, mentors helping me and teaching me and showing me the way, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I just felt that, you know, you can't go forward if you don't get back.
Thank you so much, Marvin, for taking the time out to be with us today. We definitely appreciate what you are doing, giving back to the community, because you want to see these children thrive. You want to see them right. successful. We are definitely trying our best to acknowledge that and shine light on people like you. It's important mm-hmm. for other children who aren't aware of such programs like this to know that they have somewhere to go if they need to.
That's right. I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Marvin, for joining us.
Thank you.
Umar Boxing has so much to offer, from academic development to meditation to physical training. This athletic facility serves as a safe haven for at-risk youth. To learn more about Umar Boxing programs and registration, visit weaa.org. Do you know a local hero or entrepreneur who is striving to make a positive impact in their community? Email karimoniquek@gmail.com.
You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour. Let's get a check on the weather.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Isolated severe thunderstorms with damaging winds are possible this evening. An isolated tornado is possible as well. Locally heavy rain may also lead to isolated instances of flooding during this period, mainly near central and northeast Maryland, low around 67. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Friday, sunny with a high near 78. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 63. Sunday, sunny with a high near 86. The Morgan News Hour's Rochelle Keaton has the latest on what's happening around campus.
If you are a student, faculty, or staff looking for something to do this week on campus, the Matriculation Convocation represents the official welcoming ceremony of the year, where faculty, staff, and students greet and welcome new students entering the university for the first time. Faculty members participate in this ceremony dressed in academic regalia representing the highest degrees that they have earned. The keynote speaker will be Morgan State University President Dr. David Wilson. The Matriculation Convocation will be this Thursday, September 9th at 11 a.m. at the Hill Field House. And one of Morgan's time-honored traditions is for incoming freshmen to participate in the university's Promethean Procession, will be held September 9th at 7 p.m. During the Promethean Procession, students receive words of wisdom and encouragement from key administrators as well as from their peers. The tradition of the Promethean Procession signifies the beginning of the students' matriculation and the path toward graduation in 4 years. Students proceed with their lit candles to the steps of Morgan's iconic Holmes Hall, symbolizing their successful journey from matriculation to graduation. Thin Spaces, the invisible work of Black women. This special photographic exhibition features the work of two acclaimed female artists, Sean Champion, a photographer who is a Morgan State alum, and Alexis Cherney, photographer and videographer. The exhibit starts this Saturday, September 11th at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the James E. Lewis Museum of Art. The museum entrance is in the main lobby of the Murphy Fine Arts Center, right here on the campus of Morgan State University. I'm Rochelle Keaton reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Here's a clip from our afternoon shows on WEAA, Today with Dr. K, and 2-8 Talk. So in case you missed it.
The superintendent, I think she's a joke. You know, where it's none of my business where her children go to school at, but I bet you they're getting the proper facility. They're getting heat, they're getting air conditioning. You know, so, and it's Brandon Scott is a joke also. You know, he's sitting on a bunch of money. The kids shouldn't be out of school I take that back. If it's no heat and no air conditioning, yes, send the kids home. But that problem should have been fixed 50 years ago when I was in school. And it's still not fixed. You know, we got schools that's falling apart. And believe me, the blacks down there at City Hall, they don't care. They don't care that they're falling apart. All they're worried about is Roland Park and Bolton Hill and Federal Hill.
And well, let me ask you, Mr. P. Okay, so you lay down the seriousness of this issue, and I understand that you have a problem with the leadership. Okay, here we are. Do you think that Baltimore City parents should bring a class action lawsuit against the system for miseducating our children? Because remember, as we move them along, our children are suffering.
Yes.
When you go to do business with the state of Maryland,
yes,
are you certified?
Yes.
Because they have to have a certain number of certified businesses,
right,
doing business with the state of Maryland.
Okay.
And this is why, if you haven't thought about being certified, getting your MBE designation, mm-hmm, they will walk you through the process.
Okay.
And I hate to tell you to do it for nothing other than that
certification.
How important that is.
And keep it, and even if you don't have a business idea or business, at least you don't have to have a business to get the certification, correct? Mm-hmm. You can just get the certification, and then when you start the process, you already have it.
Let me rephrase that. You have to, your business has to be certified.
So your business has to be certified.
So you, as a person, you can't just be certified.
Okay, okay,
got it. You have to
have
a business.
Okay,
That you work on the certification. Okay. But as Annette said, they'll walk you from start to finish through the process.
Yeah, okay.
Which is important.
And that's great.
Which is that's very great. Important. We have.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
I know. So, so let's do a business.
Let's do.
What business would you do?
That's very interesting. I met with someone today, my good friend Carl Stokes, and we're thinking about starting a business that does government relations, that does lobbying on behalf of organizations and other business entities, that does event planning for people. Mm-hmm.
Your sports and entertainment up next. You're listening to the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM.
At your weather around the region, isolated severe thunderstorms with damaging winds are possible this evening. An isolated tornado is possible as well. Locally, heavy rain may also lead to isolated instances of flooding during this period, mainly near central and northeast Maryland, low around 67. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Friday, sunny with a high near 78. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 63. Sunday, sunny with a high near 86.
Here's a recap of the top stories from the Morgan News Hour. We spoke to a student on the campus of Towson State University after a suspect was arrested for the shooting on campus this past weekend. We also heard from Governor Hogan about the plan to give booster shots to Maryland residents. And finally, we were introduced to Umar Boxing and the work that he does in the community from our Kari K.
Sports betting is as old as, well, sports betting. Now it is legal in 26 states. Gabriel Ortiz has more.
The Baltimore Ravens and Caesar Entertainment today announced a multifaceted partnership with Caesar Sportsbook, becoming a premier sports betting partner of the team, while expanding upon Horseshoe Baltimore's status as the NFL team's official casino partner. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys kick off the NFL season Thursday night, people in more than half the states in America will be able to bet on football legally. By game time, there are expected to be 26 states plus the District of Columbia that have legal sports betting, up from 18 at this point last year. The American Gaming Association projects over 45 million people will bet on NFL games this season. Sportsbooks predict a record-breaking betting season, even as more and more competitors crowd into the market. A national help group says problem gambling is increasing as legal sports betting spreads. I'm Gabriel Ortiz, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Morgan Sports caught up with Morgan State's starting quarterback, to discuss his game and who he models his game after. Student reporter Kendra Pugh has more.
Morgan State's names graduate student Neil Boudreaux as the starting quarterback. I caught up with Boudreaux and quarterbacks and offensive line coordinator Coach Josh Firm to talk about what motivates the quarterback and who his game replicates. Boudreaux, who transferred from San Diego State, played punter and safety before transferring to Morgan State to compete for a quarterback position. Neil says that being an underdog is what drives him.
I feel like a lot of the guys on our team are underdogs in terms of we weren't recruited by the biggest schools.
The quarterback says that the player that he wants to model his style after is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
To emulate would probably be Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
Firm, who coached Allen at Wyoming, says that Boudreaux's mental makeup is like Josh Allen, but Allen's arm strength is what separates the two.
I have personally coached Josh Allen at Wyoming, and it's hard to compare anybody to him just because he's got such a talent. And it's not taking anything away from Neil. It's just, you know, Josh Allen was just his arm strength, everything he did. I will say, I do think Neil prepares very, very well like Josh did.
The coach says that Neil is their guy, but he needs to improve on not trying to please everyone.
Struggles with is he's a pleaser. He wants to make people, he wants people to like him. And I think as a leader, you can't do that.
Boudreaux lived in Baltimore after attending the 2019 fall camp. He had a chance to build chemistry with the receiving corps and the offensive line. I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan NewsHour.
Well, thank you, Kendra, for that report. How are you out there?
I'm good.
All right. So some of the stories that we want to get into today is, one, Paul Levitsky. I'm hoping I always say his name right, but I just always keep it simple. He's better known as WWE superstar Triple H. He actually had a health scare recently. It was a heart issue that he had, but he's recovering fine, and they said he's expected to make a full recovery. So,
that's great.
Yeah, thought we just put that story out there. One story that me and Kendra were definitely talking about was this. The Athletic ranked the greatest football players of all time, and the top five that they named were Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice, Jim Brown, and Tom Brady, in that order. Do you agree with this list? Randy seemed like he wanted to say something as well.
I was going to say, as a huge Giants fan and a Lawrence Taylor fan, I agree.
So you think that you think Lawrence Taylor at least is top five?
Yes,
cool.
He is.
Okay. What about you, Kendra?
I agree. I just feel like when you look at all of those players that's on the list, like, I feel like they're clutch. When you think of somebody who dominates the sport, you think about Tom Brady, you think about Jim Brown, you think about Jerry Rice, Lawrence Taylor, and Reggie White. Like, you think about those players, when you think about somebody who are just legends. It's a lot of football legends out there, but these are players that dominated during their time.
I would probably have to put in a vote for Deion Sanders. You know, two-way, lockdown.
I'm not mad if you do put Deion on this list. I know Kendra was talking about Joe Montana.
Yeah.
So.
I agree with the because when you think about like the bad boy Cowboys before they were it's the Cowboys. You know what I mean? It was Deion Sanders. It's like they modeled that after him.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with that. Now they're just what the Cowboys going to do now, but he made them somebody.
Right.
him and Michael Irvin made them somebody.
Oh, well, speaking of Michael Irvin, you did say he was on First Take this week. So he made his, I think it's called Mondays with Michael.
Oh, I think using guest hosts, right?
Yes.
Throughout the week.
Okay. So that'll be interesting to see what First Take does moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this list, though, you're right. You can't get mad at anybody on this list. There's not really much to debate. Tom Brady is the GOAT.
Yeah, I have to give it up to him.
Lawrence Taylor, some people, you know, we are in Baltimore, so some people would say Ray Lewis, but you might get a slight edge over the LT.
Right. If they expanded it to top 10, yeah. They're looking at top five. Yeah. It's a great debate. You know, everyone has their favorites. They didn't pick, you know, certain positions. Did they pick a lineman, like an offensive lineman? I don't think they did. They did defense. Reggie White.
Yeah. And you know, all these players, Hall of Famers, and also, like, they were all different in their own perspective ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Tom Brady, he may not be the most athletic guy, but like Kendra said, he's so clutch.
Right.
And, you know, when you think about just somebody who's going to be able to close out a Super Bowl, you always think about Tom Brady. He has seven rings for a reason.
Right.
You know, Jim Brown.
I have a question for Mr. Reed.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so do you think that him losing those two Super Bowls to the Giants affected his clutchness, or you think that affected his legacy?
No, it doesn't affect his legacy, but we always hold it over Patriots fans that he couldn't get by the Giants. You know,
oh my,
we got
goodness.
Two chips from Eli.
You know what? The only thing about that is y'all cost me a lot of money for that first
one. With the catch?
The first one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
because I swore that there was no way that the Patriots were losing that Super Bowl.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Oh, 15
yeah. 15-1.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I give y'all, y'all the edge. And, you know, it could be a debate about Eli Manning if he's a Hall of Famer, because Phil Simms, he has a Super Bowl ring, but he's not a Hall of Famer, but is Eli. Mm.
Eli has two.
Yes. And he beat Tom Brady twice.
Right. So there you go.
It's actually the defense beat him, but we'll talk about
that. Kendra with the knowledge.
But, I mean, it's coming up. Right. I think within maybe 2 to 3 years, I think he's got eligibility after that.
Yep.
That'll be a great debate, though.
Derek Jeter went in the Hall of Fame. Did someone just post I saw on Twitter that they didn't think he should go in right now?
What? Oh, they're crazy.
Yeah.
El Capitan.
We're talking about Bucky Dent. Dent's from my era.
I said they said A-Rod, but no, not Derek Jeter. He's going in. He deserves to be in.
Yeah, he went in today.
Derek Jeter.
That's the only reason why you like the Yankees, right? Can you tell me that, Dre?
That was the reason I became a Yankees fan, but I'm still sticking with them. And, you know, I was off the bandwagon for them. I didn't think that the Yankees had a chance to make the playoffs, but we're looking good right now. So I'm still holding on hope to that Yankees-Dodgers World Series.
I'm hoping that the Red Sox can just squeeze in there. I'm hoping.
Ooh.
That'd be interesting.
So wait, Kendra, are you from Boston?
No. It started out as a Patriots thing, but then I gradually started to like the Sox, and now the Bruins.
I'm sorry.
The Bruins.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a whole Boston thing now. But it's turned into just the Patriots.
Oh gosh. Next thing you know, you're gonna say you're a Celtics fan.
Right?
Oh no.
About to say Laker Nation all day over here.
Oh, my goodness.
Our last story that we wanted to get into was Pro Football Focus came out with an NFL underrated team for 2021.
Oh, my God.
And the quarterback is Baker Mayfield.
I know that's a lie.
They think he's underrated?
They think he's underrated.
Oh.
Underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
Yeah, I think he's overrated.
Me too. That's what I was going to say. I definitely think he's overrated.
Right.
Honestly, when I would think about the quarterback who's underrated to me, it would be Derek Carr. Derek Carr has similar numbers to Baker Mayfield. He just doesn't have the weapons or the protection. But
who's
he puts up good numbers.
Texans? No, who's he with?
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, okay. Who else is on the list?
I would pick Derek Carr.
He is with the Raiders. Who else is on the list?
So they got Tony Pollard at the running back position, Michael Thomas for the wide receiver position, along with Allen Robinson, Tyler Boyd. Those are the three wide receivers. And then,
Kendra. They think Michael Thomas is underrated?
Yep.
Wow.
That's a whack list.
They need to do a little bit more.
Right. They're just putting stuff out.
At this point, when you said Michael Thomas, Michael Thomas is not underrated.
I had to go pull out the Google machine. I didn't know. Yeah,
this list, it's like you just kind of want to throw them away at this point. Mm-hmm. Pro Football Focus, y'all reaching.
Right.
But, I mean, that the Baker Mayfield one, that you can... It's debatable, but I don't think he's underrated. Like you guys said, it's a chance that he could be overrated, especially when you look at quarterbacks like, for example, Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have nearly the amount of commercials that Baker Mayfield does.
Right.
But when you turn on your TV every Sunday.
Even before he started winning, Baker Mayfield started winning. They would be like 0-4, and they'd be like, oh, here we go with this commercial.
Right.
I haven't even won a game yet, but he got a lot of commercials. He got more commercials than he won games.
And it's sad but true, and you would think that Lamar with an MVP would at least have one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
But thank y'all. Now it's time to entertainment in Hollywood with my girl Demi.
Thank you, Dre. Thanks, Kendra. Well, here's what's trending in your entertainment.
Legendary singer Anita Baker settled disputes over her master records. Back in March, Baker asked fans not to buy or stream her music as she battled her former label, Elektra Records, for her master recordings. On Twitter, the singer said, by law, 30 years old, masters are to be returned, and that the label was making her fight for her records. The 1976 Copyright Revision Act gives artists who release albums after 1978 the right to reclaim their master recordings from their record labels 35 years after first being released. Ownership of master recordings means artists can control and profit from their own work without having to ask for permission. So on September 3rd, Ms. Baker let fans know that they can resume playing and purchasing her catalog. And while the details of the deal for her masters have yet to be disclosed, she also announced that new box sets and compilations will be released.
For her.
Yeah. Creator and businesswoman Issa Rae has partnered with American Express and U.S. Black Chambers to expand Buy Black, a national certification program to promote Black ownership. Buy Black is a free digital platform that allows customers and other companies to easily find U.S. Black-owned businesses, according to USBC. And according to a study done by American Express, 44% of consumers seek out Black-owned businesses, and 55% say they would be interested in using an official database that certifies businesses that are Black-owned. Issa Rae says Buy Black is a powerful platform that connects Black business owners with new revenue streams and helps all of us find and shop at standout businesses. And American Express has committed to help at least 250,000 small and medium-sized Black-owned businesses by the end of 2024.
It's a great program.
Yeah. I think that's excellent. But also, earlier I sent you an app. It's based in New York, and they're also a space where you can visit to look for and buy from Black-owned businesses. Yeah,
it's called Myra. Myra, we couldn't.
We couldn't
pronounce it. M I I R I Y A. Yeah,
Myria.
I think so. but getting back to Anita Baker, that's very smart of her to fight to reclaim. Surprised she had to fight to reclaim her
but a lot of artists are going through that, and when I was reading the article, they were also saying that George Clinton is going through the same issue. And you know, before Prince passed away, he was having that issue as well. Was it also Michael Jackson? He was fighting for his masters. So a lot of artists have that issue, that you know, because they were signed to a record label, the record label owns their record, but like this, the law says after 35 or after 30 years of the first release, then the sales, everything should go to the artist.
Right.
But some records try to fight to keep that, and you know, artists do not necessarily always see a dime from their record. So when I was reading the article, George Clinton, he was fighting to get his masters because he has a lot of rappers who sample his music, and he doesn't get paid from that.
Oh, wow.
But he was awarded, I believe it said, like at least maybe four of his albums when he went to court, but he still has some other stuff that he's tied up in that he's trying to get his masters back. And imagine, like, that his music, just like Anita Baker's, came out in the
70s. So they
passed the 30-year threshold. It's just the record companies are being stingy.
And hopefully Anita will start touring again. I know she did a tour maybe 2 years ago.
No, and she probably will. You know, a lot of people were saying that too. They was like, well, now that she has her master's, maybe she'll go on tour. But I'm sure her tours are probably so expensive.
Right. All right. We want to thank you for joining us here tonight on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Up next is In the Groove with Lolo. Thank you. Have a good night.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab here at the studios of WEAA 88.9 FM. Led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shaheed. Thank you to our student reporters, Devontae Berry, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Carol Williams, and an extra special thanks to Andre Melton for operating the board tonight.